Dive into the dynamic world of high school sports. Whether you're a seasoned athletic director, a newcomer to the field, or simply curious to learn more about this exciting profession, this podcast is your go-to resource for inspiration, education, and a deeper understanding of the game-changing decisions that shape the world of high school athletics.
Welcome back to AD360. I'm Greg Vandermeer, and as always, I'm joined by my co-host, Scott Rosenberg. We're extremely excited and pleased today to have Rich Porfido, a former athletic director, as our guest today. Really looking forward to diving into this topic today. But before we do that, Rich, how are you doing today?
Doing great. You know, we got a little bit of sun out here today in New Jersey, so and it's not 10 degrees, so we're in good shape, Greg.
That's always a good one. You know, I mean, I'm based here in Salt Lake City, and I look outside and I find it hard to believe that we're near March and it's as warm as it is. So always a good day when it's wintertime in these cold states when it's a little bit warmer out. But yeah. Some of you may be wondering why we have a former AD on the podcast today and what we're going to be focusing on. Today's episode is going to be covering transitioning out of the AD profession, really kind of providing tips on what that process looks like, how to go through it, how to navigate it, some valuable lessons that were learned while being an AD, how you can leverage that skill set into a different career field. Rich is going to be joining us and giving us some great insights into that. So we're really excited to dive into this. But Scott, want to get your thoughts. How are you doing today, my friend?
I'm great. I think this is the great tease, I will call it, for at least New Jersey athletic directors. Like, spring sports will start in a couple of weeks. Everybody's thinking we'll be out on the fields, we'll be ready to go. I hope so. But inevitably, we'll get that like late snowstorm right prior to the season and trying to have to manage all the gym space and that kind of stuff, which becomes fun, especially between like the winter season still going on a little bit as you start out that spring season for a lot of schools. However, we transitioned out. So that's not something that is top of mind right now anyway.
That's a yesteryear problem for you, right, Scott?
Yes, sir.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think, folks, why don't we go ahead and get things kicked off? Rich, I'm going to throw the first question at you for today. Before we really start diving into that whole transition process, what got you into being an athletic director to start with?
Yeah, so, growing up, I think I was a solid soccer player, but I was a good history teacher. And then back then, it just clicked that's I wanted to go into education and then follow that athletic route, that administration route. I was able to get my principal certificate, saw what I did as a coach, and I really enjoyed coaching. I coached 5 different sports at the high school level at different times, but then trying to see what kind of impact I can have on an overall athletic program. So getting into a place like Caldwell High School where I started and going for 19 years as an athletic director, I think the why I went in there to make that impact for athletic programs, coaches, or student athletes was exactly what I wanted to do. And that's why I got into it.
That's fantastic. And I would think that both Scott and I are probably similar in the same path that you had done. I mean, myself, student athlete growing up, really enjoyed it. Collegiately was able to continue playing, had a great experience there, wanted to go into athletics as a profession. And, you know, doing that, then you start kind of having those wheels turn of like, hey, I feel like I'm doing really good in the area that I'm covering, but how can I have a broader impact? How can I really help grow these programs? And I think similarly to you, I kind of went down that same road of like, what's the next step? You know, I'm having a great impact with the student athletes I'm with, but how can I take my skill set and apply it to a broader approach? And, very much like yourself, I think there was the same journey path, if you will. Maybe different routes, but same end result, if you will. Scott, how about you?
I mean, I'm on the same as you guys. Like, such formative times in my life were based on athletics and education-based athletics, and enjoyed my time in high school and college playing athletics. And again, it seemed like a natural fit. My dad was a teacher, wanted to go back and teach. Obviously coach. And I think I always had this perspective that I wanted to make sure that I had an exit strategy if I ever needed one from teaching. Like, hey, am I going to last 35 years in a classroom? And God bless those people who do, but I just never saw myself as being able to do that. So going back to grad school, saying, hey, what would be someplace I could transition to that I would still love to do and have greater impact? And that's how I wound up in that position.
That's fantastic. You know what? I think the common theme that I'm hearing from this is coaches at heart, educators at heart, finding ways to have broader impact is really what drives you towards that position.
Rich, all right. So we got a little bit about why you got into the job. I think I heard you say 17 years on the job as an AD.
Yeah, 19 actually. Yeah, 19. Yeah.
So 19 years, you're doing it for a long time. You're at a couple different schools. And then at one point, something says, I might be ready to transition out. Like, what was there one factor? Was there a bunch of factors that led to you thinking, maybe I want to look elsewhere and outside of education?
Yeah. So, you know, I was at four different schools over 19 years and different levels of success in regards to on the field success, off the field success. I was at the highest rated public athletic program with Wayne Hills at one point when we were there. And that was exciting to be at that level. I loved it. Loved working with the kids, loved seeing our coaches and our overall programs develop. But as the years go on, you know, I started to look at, you know, we talked about what was the beginning. Why did we get into this? What was the definition of success for me at the end of a day, you know, as those last years got on there? And the definition of success basically in my mind became, well, the buses got here, the umpires got here, and we didn't have any fights. And I just can't imagine that's the way I want it to continue, you know, in terms of my definition of success each day. It wasn't why I went into it. It's changed because, you know, I think the amount of duties and responsibilities put on us all those times are really difficult. You know, I was managing schools of 2,000 kids at the end there. And, you know, after school, you're technically on your own. You're the administrator. That's it. And there's a lot of responsibility. You want to do it perfectly. We know it can't be done perfectly, but we want to always strive for that. And once I couldn't do it perfectly, once I realized that was the definition of success, I started to look at different routes. And it didn't just happen in a snap. It was a little bit of time. Let's see where I can fit my skill set. Let's see what role is there. And let's see the timing. You know, timing is a huge part of this as well.
All right. Rich, thanks for that. I definitely want to respond to that, but I'm going to let Greg jump in too. Greg, was yours the same sort of situation? Was it a little bit different as you were thinking about transitioning out?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think there's a lot of similarities there, Rich. You know, I really like the part where you talk about what was your definition of success for a given day. And in the very beginning for me, you know, it was like you wanted to make sure that you had an impact, whether it was with a coach, with a colleague, with a student athlete. And obviously there's the day-to-day, let's just call it the minutia that you wanted to make sure got done. And you're gung-ho, you want to take care of everything. But near the end, I'll be completely candid. I started to burn out just because of the time constraints and how many hours you're putting in there. And at the end of the day, it wasn't necessarily like, did the buses get here? Or was everything running as it should be? Did I get pestered after I left? You know, like, was I able to go home and unplug? And I think that got to a point where I'm like, man, it might be time for me to transition out because I'm getting to that point where I'm almost getting bothered by the people that I want to help, you know, where in the beginning I'd be quick to jump on that call, do whatever I could after hours. But I think it got to a point where my daily definition of success was I left alone after I had left. And that's when it kind of had like that aha moment of like, wait a minute, I don't think my heart's truly in this. And that's not going to be for the betterment of the kids first and foremost. And it's not going to be for the betterment of my coaches and my department. I think it might be time for me to transition and look to do something else.
That's completely fair. Understood too, right? I know that resonates with probably a lot of people listening. Me, I think a couple things. Family, one, I got to the point was my kids were getting a little bit older and I started thinking, am I going to watch everybody else's kids play or am I going to be able to watch my own at some point? Two, can I actually reintroduce myself to my own family or will they have already forgotten who I am because it was too many years that I was, you know, away? And I mean, I joke, but I think, Greg, what you said, like the idea of being present at home and that home work-life balance, I didn't have a really good balance. If I was home, I was here, but I was always or too often thinking about what was going on back at school, worrying about some situation or having somebody reach out to me, even if I thought I could kind of like unplug a little bit, as you say. And then I think for a lot of people, you know, and I think it's important as an AD to try and figure out, can you get to the point where the day-to-day can run itself a bit or you can have other people helping run the day to day, because I got to the point where the idea of having a vision for like the big ticket items just never came to fruition. I had all these ideas, thoughts on what I could do, like big picture, but I was worried about the bus. I was worried about the ref, and I was worried about the uniform and that kind of stuff. So that was maybe the burnout for me at that point.
Next question for you, Rich. You know, as you're going through this process of looking to transition out and going into a different realm, if you will, did you lean on any mentors or colleagues that might have helped guide you through the process? Did you know anybody that previously had gone through this process? Because I know for myself as an athletic director, one of the things that I kind of felt once I got to that moment of I'm not doing the best for everybody and maybe it's time for me to seek something else. There was a little bit of mild panic on my part because it's like, what do I do? This is what I know. And do I have the resources or support system to really identify what to do next? So did you have any mentors or colleagues that helped you through that process?
Yeah, Greg, absolutely. Yeah, I don't think you can't do this alone because, you know, we all went to college for education. You know, that's what we do. That's what we kind of know. So when you get to that next step, you definitely need whether it's a mentor or just people to lean on, people to throw things at. Like I said, this took a couple of years in terms of what I was really looking to do and, you know, make that decision. There had been several offers along the way. I don't think it was the right time, the right place or anything like that. So when an offer was made to me that I really thought was perfect, I really learned and I leaned on, I'll tell you, one of the people on this call is Scott Rosenberg. Scott had made that transition prior to me, you know, about 4 or 5 years before that. And just getting his take on it, you know, leaving, it didn't matter about the company so much. It mattered about the process, you know, leaving public education, health benefits, how does that work? The New Jersey pension, all these different things that you can read, but there's 25 pages to read. You need somebody that's going to kind of give you those cliff notes and be honest with you. So I thought, you know, Scott's guidance is really good because he and I are pretty much the same age. And I think we had very similar goals in mind in terms of why we went into it and where we went. And then just speaking to some other people that had left, you know, down the road, you know, before us too, you know, having a little bit of their input in terms of what they're doing, that helped. But Scott was actually probably my biggest mentor in this regard. And the irony in this is now in my role, when I go to different schools, I'm talking to some administrators and yes, I'm selling technology. I'm working with technology. But the first thing they're asking me is, how'd you get out? Yeah. What did you do? So I'm almost their mentor. I'm actually, you know, and so it's really interesting to hear people ask me the same questions that I asked Scott in the last 2 years. So, yeah. So, Greg, to answer your question shortly, yeah, Scott has been my biggest mentor for that. And I thank him for it.
I definitely wish I had Scott's contact number back in that era of my life because it would have helped me, save me a little bit of angst. But Scott, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, you know, I was a little bit on an island at the time. There were plenty of ADs who kind of like retired, but they were more of retirement age and they had little side hustles, little part-time gigs, you know what I'm saying? Coming back, helping out their conference, whatever it might be. But I didn't really have anybody who was too young to retire or who had, you know, professional shoppers in their family that they needed to make sure they were making enough money to survive and needed really a full-time job. So I was on the island a little bit, but it's kind of nice to be able to help others once you get past that point as well. Rich, you know, like speaking of that, so I heard you say you're in technology now. I actually don't even know everything about your job, but I would love to hear a little bit about where you landed in this transition and what you're doing now and how you feel about that.
Yeah. So it's, you know, I work for Howard Technology. So it's a nationally known technology company from all verticals from, you know, college, business, medical and business, and as well as K-12 education. So I'm the New Jersey K-12 representative. So I go into schools in New Jersey, work with them. We basically provide all technology solutions, anything you could possibly imagine. We actually make our own items as well. It's based in Mississippi. It's a billion-dollar company. And if you asked me if I knew about the company this time last year, I would say no. And, you know, so when I went through their interview process, I met with people very similar to the guys on this call. My manager is a former athletic director and head football coach from Tennessee. The people above him that also oversee me, also athletic minded, did baseball, did different things at Mississippi State and Ole Miss. So a lot of them are based there. I'm the New Jersey representative, which has been great. It's a really good culture. There's no question. I did not retire to sit back. I retired to basically work, and it's the same amount of work, which is great. It's just on a different highway. So it's the same pace, just a different highway is what we're doing. But, you know, how it's been great, you know, doing this transition for sure. It's I landed with people that are like-minded like myself. We work hard. We have that same kind of sports mentality as well, but we also want to achieve that same goal. So I was fortunate in that respect, and it's been good going to New Jersey schools like this.
And how do you feel that your skill set from, let's say, being a coach, a teacher, an administrator has translated to this new position?
Yeah. So I think as school administrators, no matter what, our organization is always, you know, we wouldn't have been doing it this long if we weren't well organized. So that's number one. I think my organizational skills have been really strong. Communication in everything, whether it's phone, whether it's email, obviously the in-person and making those relationship connections are essential to what we're doing. So a lot of that it was able to translate very, very well into this position because it's just a matter of speaking to people, hearing what they need, getting an idea of what they're looking for, and then communicating that to different people in my organization to see how we can best help people. So a lot of those interpersonal skills, I think that we probably take for granted because it's just what we do on a daily basis, really did translate well. I miss student athletes. There's no question. I miss coaches, but it is good to still go into schools, talk to them, see what's going on there, keep abreast of, meet with their athletic director for, just because we're trying to catch up with them too. But yeah, that's a little bit of what it is. Those skills have definitely translated really well into it. Again, the technology, I think as athletic directors, that grew in the athletic directing field as we moved on. So that really has helped me prepare myself for this job as well.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And it's a little bit different, Greg. I'll hit you up with this question. Like, I mean, I get those, and we all do probably, when I'm meeting with ADs or other people, hey, how do I get out kind of thing? And I often would say, go to your purchase order book. Like, go see where you've been spending your money as an athletic director, because those are the kind of companies who need to talk to ADs and maybe leverage your connections and your skill set. Whereas as I'm hearing you talk, Rich, like you kind of found a way even outside of that normal, let's say, athletic director PO book, seems like more of like the district-wide purchase order book, but not so much the athletic realm. So I'll let Greg kind of speak to that, and then we'll go back to you, Rich.
You know, I think that you hit the nail on the head there, Scott, because honestly, the first thing when I started having thoughts in my mind of transition. Okay. One, how do I verbalize the skills that I've acquired? You know, because the industry is unique in itself. But with that said, there are so many skills that you develop as an AD that are able to be used across so many different industries, right? So first I had to kind of identify like, okay, what are some big selling points for me? And then secondly, I did go to that PO book. I started looking at companies that we dealt with on a regular basis and relationships that I had. And I started asking questions, like I would candidly speak with the ones that I was close with that were my reps. And I had a handful of them that I was fortunate enough to be able to kind of talk through different scenarios. Some of them had been coaches and educators. Only a couple had actually been in the athletic director realm. But developing those relationships and learning more about their companies and trying to decide, hey, I kind of want to pursue doing something with these folks. That was literally the first place that I looked. And I was very fortunate in doing that and being able to work with the great people that I work with now. But I think that that's a tremendous approach to be able to sit there and think of who are the relationships you already exist with? How can you take your skill set and best apply it to whatever industry you're going to go into? I wanted some commonalities. I still wanted to have a foot or a toe in the water of athletics. I didn't want to get completely out of athletics. I just wanted to find a new challenge and a new way to do it. But nail on the head right there, Scott. Your purchase order book, that's going to give you a great starting point of I either do or don't want to try and pursue these types of opportunities.
So, Rich, how did you wind up? And I agree, Greg, right? Like, Rich, how did you wind up maybe outside the purchase order book? For this one,
I definitely looked at that purchase order book. There's no question. So that's a great way of saying that too. But yeah, so as you're looking for different opportunities, you look for the best one that's available to you. And when I met with the people from Howard and they talked to me about the job and they said, listen, it's not easy, but it's really, you know, it's really helpful and beneficial to what you can do. It was the best available position I was offered. And I decided the timing was perfect, like I said. And it was just an ideal fit at that time because they said, listen, you're going to learn the technology as you go, and that's okay. But you have so many things that we're looking for, the attributes, the personal relationships, the connections that you can make. So that was a big part of it. And I'll say, you know, I drive around the state of New Jersey, and that's really what I do is meet with schools. That athletic director background, understanding these schools, understanding where they are, understanding like, hey, we could do 4 meetings right there. They're all in the same hour away from each other. Having that knowledge right off the bat was really, really helpful to me, for sure. So, and it's been really interesting going to see some of the schools down South Jersey because I'm a North Jersey guy. And I'm like, wow, we sent our wrestling team here years ago. I've never been here. This school's awesome. So it's kind of really neat to have a connection as well. So yes, I'm still in that athletic director realm in that respect, but I am really I'm really excited about being able to help the entire school district from this point of view.
The North Jersey accent comes through. That was almost like giving right there. Greg's thinking the same thing, right?
Yeah. For 2.5 hour state, it's a very big difference from North and South. But it's really great because it's the connections I've made are just excellent. So it's all good. So.
For sure. For sure.
So talk to us a little bit, you know, what were some of the surprises or challenges that you faced when you were transitioning, like things that you didn't think of or things that you didn't expect?
So anyway, from a school district perspective, we look at the holidays and vacations that we're used to. The private sector is different in that respect. So you got to kind of plan out vacations a little bit differently. Yes, as athletic directors, we barely got vacations. We know what that was, but it's different in terms of how you got to plan that out. So your calendar is definitely different on the private sector. Accountability, as I said, I think we're all here. We all want to be perfect in what we did. So that accountability factor, it's definitely there in the private sector. It's definitely, it always was something I understood. I don't know if everybody totally understands that, but the private sector expects that accountability. So that's something I was able to at least bring to the table already because we work with a lot of different people and you see where maybe not everybody has that same accountability that I might have. And then some other things too, it is different. You know, it's just a different aspect in terms of how we work with people and how we connect with people. And it's a large company. So, you know, I know schools want things done tomorrow. We know that if they put an order in today, they want it tomorrow. We understand that as athletic directors. I would love to deliver that to them. That's just not the reality. So I think we have to kind of talk to them about that. But our company does a great job with that. And it's all about, you know, following up and communication with us.
So. Scott, how about yourself? What were some of the unforeseen challenges maybe as you started to transition out?
Acronyms. I would say acronyms, right? Business act, because I would be sitting on calls and somebody would throw out these terms and man, I'm on the Google. What does this mean? What is EBITDA? Like, what am I doing right now? But from the same perspective, how refreshing that was for me to have like a new challenge. Again, when I go back and I say we were so stuck in that day to day, it felt like Groundhog's Day sometimes. It wasn't hard after doing that AD job for as long as I did, but it was still busy. So now I got to basically maybe challenge myself intellectually a little bit more and have to learn something pretty new using the same skill set, but it was fun. And I'm still learning every day, by the way. But it's been fun learning more about the business world. And like, I guess when you're in the public sector in education, you have this idea, maybe what, from the movies or from your friends of what the business world is like, but you can't really, you know, understand it until you live it. I remember saying to my friends, like, so what do you do every day? And they're like, I don't know, but I'm busy all the time. Whereas like you're a teacher, you're like living bell to bell. You know exactly where you have to be. You're sitting in an office as an AD and you're like, I know exactly what I have to do every day. I could have kind of explained that to people, whereas the business world seems foreign to me, and I couldn't understand it. So that's been like a bit of a challenge, but fun at the same time. Greg, you?
You know, I think that the free flow structure of business versus the structure of a high school day was a big challenge, because just to your point, you know, bell to bell where you're going to be going, what you need to be doing. Whereas in the business world, I mean, there are many times I have things blocked out on my calendar. I need to get this done. I got to get this done. But then some things pop up like they do in the athletic director world. But you don't have as many set scheduled breaks in the day, or, you know, times that you can kind of carve away to yourself, because there's always just a Slack or a Teams or something that can pop up and kind of derail your day, which can happen in the AD world too. But I would say that the difference in structure in the day-to-day operations. And then also, Rich, I think a big thing that was a little bit of a challenge for me was the expectation setting, because, you know, being in the realm that we're in now, having lived on both sides of the fence, you want it tomorrow. When I was an AD, I wanted it 10 minutes from then. And now realizing, oh, this is why they couldn't deliver that, because there's certain things that have to get built out, or there's elements that you're not privy to. And you see that now, and having to be able to find a good way to convey that in an understanding fashion can be a challenge at times too.
Yeah, absolutely. And Scott, going back to what you said too, I mean, learning each day is exciting. I you know, it's great. And, you know, it's like going back to college, yet you come back, or you're coming with a better skill set to start out with. But so learning different things each day in terms of the product or just how to work with people, it's been exciting. It's actually rejuvenated me in terms of different things too. So it's great to hear you say that.
Yeah, for sure. I would think that some of the ADs who are listening, who are thinking about maybe transitioning out, also have concerns about, hey, like, when I walk away, is this place going to be okay? And so what would be maybe some of the things you would say to an AD about that? Like, how to prepare your school, your other administrators, your coaches for the next person coming in. It's always important, right? Yep. But I think that weighs on people.
Yeah. Yeah, it absolutely does, Scott. Because I think, you know, I know you, Scott, and Greg, I knowing you for a short time just now, I know we care more than anything. And so I know once I knew I was leaving, obviously I was kept secret for a while, I started creating a Google Doc with as much as I possibly could onto one thing. Seasonal, here's the codes to all these different accounts, everything I could possibly put onto a different one Google Doc. That way, that I was able to transfer that, you know, and when a new person was put into place, share it with administration, different things like that, and links to forms and different things like that. I thought it was so important. That was number one. And I'm not that that's easy. It just became something I started accumulating as I knew I was leaving. And then number two, you know, hopefully when that transition's made, you're able to meet with that person that's going to take over your role. It's a little weird because it's kind of like being at your own funeral. However, I think it's the right move you could possibly do. You know, obviously I gave all my time. I'm like, listen, you want me to come meet with you at night during the summer? Awesome. I'm there. You know what I mean? I want to make sure this thing goes well. The idea is I'm not, you know, we're not leaving in anger. We're just leaving for something new. So we want to keep it. We did a lot of work. How do we keep it going? Here's how we keep it going. And call me anytime. You know, that's kind of what it is. I'm like, you can call me. Somebody reached out to me this past Saturday for a contact, and I made sure that happened. That's, you know, that's we're in this business because we care. So we're not going to stop caring.
Greg, how about you? Thanks, Rich.
Very similar in the sense that, you know, kind of compiling all of the information that's needed. You know, I leveraged Google Docs. I made sure, like, if there were certain things, like compiling lists of like, hey, here are the checklists of how we operated for this event. And as I was getting ready to transition out, not so much the day-to-day stuff, you know, it was more like the outlier type event things of how can I help them be successful? Because ultimately, I didn't want to leave my colleagues and student athletes high and dry. I wanted to leave them in a better place than when I got there, right? And I wanted to make sure whoever was getting handed those keys knew how to do everything. Compiling a list of like areas that you need to have access to, you know, whether that's both physical and or, you know, digitally, there's certain certain websites that they need to be privy to, and being able to, like, contacts. I made sure that I compiled a list of contacts that were specific for, you know, here's your 911 for your transportation. Here is who's your go-to person if there's a facility issue. Like, just those things that were, I developed knowledge about just on the job. I wanted to try and hand that off to somebody, because I remember being in those shoes as the new guy going, oh my God, what do I do? Not knowing where to go. And I kind of wanted to almost hand them like a booklet of, hey, go back to your book, look at this. But then also, Rich, to your point, here's my number. You know, I can't promise you that I'm going to be able to pick up exactly when you call every single time, because I do got new responsibilities, but please reach out. I want to be able to help you, because the things that I help do here, I don't want to see them fall by the wayside just because I've left. I want somebody to step in and take them even further than they were. So completely agree with you on that front. The more you can prepare the people around you, the better off it is. You know, how about you, Scott?
I mean, everything you said is obviously right, spot on. I guess I would say that if you could even do that stuff before you're on your way out, you're better off. You just never know what's going to happen. It's just easier said than done. Like, that Google Doc should probably be there at all times. Right, Richie? Like, why not? I mean, what if something terrible happened to somebody, or, you know, whatever it might be, it'd be good to have that like a running document, make it easier for you on the way out. Again, I know, preaching like easier said than done as you're worried about the day to day. But I think so. I think if you can, if a lot of times you have coaches who maybe are starting to think about like that next step. And if you can mentor some people within the building that maybe get a little bit more of that institutional knowledge, so that either that sets them up for a job there later on or a job someplace else, that could be helpful. You know, sort of having like that person waiting in the wings and then hoping that they actually get the job, as opposed to maybe going outside the district, but try and maybe work with some others in advance too. It's just keeping everything, like you said. I mean, in business, like, we're on Salesforce, and, you know, if it's not there in our company, then it doesn't exist, kind of thing. So the same idea translated back to the AD world, I would say.
All right. So, Rich, let me ask this. In your opinion, what are some jobs or career paths that you feel are great fits for former athletic directors?
Yeah, so I think, you know, what a lot of us are doing right now, you know, the account management for different roles. You know, there are a lot of athletic companies, like we've mentioned there, that are available. But I think there's other, you know, business ones. When you look at different ads, they're always looking for sports-minded people. Okay. So a lot of times in these job applications, they put in quotes, you know, sports-minded people, you know, like a sales position or different things. And the idea is they don't, you know, sure, you might have played sports and athletics, but in reality, they're looking for that competitive mindset. So I think that's definitely one right off the bat. There's also a lot of event management and different things like that. And sure, athletics and different things like that, working for a club program, maybe a soccer program, different things like that. There's a lot of those programs and availability there in terms of managing these big programs. But there's also event management for a lot of different parts too. You know, you look at even hotels are always looking for event management, different things. And you look at what we did as athletic directors, managing that part, whether it's from the emergency part all the way to making sure everybody has a name tag to the end of it and everything in between. It's also a nice, I think, role that's out there for a lot of people too. And then I see a lot of people going to independent schools, you know, maybe just back to their roots as a teacher, you know, and that type of thing. And that's been a nice fit for a lot of people as well. So.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all that. I think there's the skill set fits almost anything, honestly. It really does. I think about like employee training programs, right? Like the ability to teach, you have to be able to teach. So anything that needs to be taught, most ADs were teachers at some point. You said like organize, lead, consult, like, you know, all those kind of things. I feel like your skill set and AD skill set fits extremely well. Greg, anything to add to that?
No, I think I would be 100% with you on that. I really feel like sales, because there's such a skill set, being able to work with a variety of different aspects and connecting with them. I think that those are good ones to really kind of hone in on. Anything that's going to require you being able to develop relationships, organizational skill sets are huge. Being able to stay on top of things. Time management is a great skill set to have. I think a lot of times I heard this from a higher up one time. A lot of companies now are looking to hire for the right type of personality and train the skills needed. And I think that athletic directors fit the right type of personality for many jobs because you're dealing with a wide variety of characters, if you will, you know, from your coaches, your student athletes, your parents, whether those are, you know, dynamic characters in a good way or dynamic characters in a bad way, you understand how to manage that as well as deal with conflict. And I think that you have to step outside of your comfort zone and realize you're not going to know everything day one in whatever job you go into, and be comfortable not knowing and be comfortable asking questions. But there's a wide variety and there's a lot of options out there for former athletic directors.
Agreed, man. All right, let's bring this down to the home stretch here. I would say last question, Rich, would be this. An AD is thinking about leaving. They're like feeling a little burnt. That mindset hits them and they're like, I need to get out. What would you say would be some of the practical things at that point, like that they should start doing today to give themselves an opportunity, whether it's tomorrow or like you 2 years down the road? Like, what could an AD do now to get ready?
Yeah. And I think we're all smart enough not to make the impulse decision. Make, you know, first. So don't make the wrong decision too quick and then regret it. So that's number one. You might have a bad day, week, season, even a bad year. Make sure it's going to be the right move. So taking your time to plan things out is a big part of this. Look at different roles. Again, Scott, I had the ability to talk to you. That helped out a lot. So talk to different people that have done this jump. That's a big part of it too. See what your options are in terms of the amount of years you've had into, whether it's public education, how that works out with your health benefits, pension plan, different things down the line so that you know what you have. So that when you are looking for a different role, you can combine that and say, okay, this amount of money from my pension, this amount of money from my salary, this is a great fit right here. Or at least it lets you have an idea of where you want to go. And then see if you want to stay in the state or see if you want to move. That also gives you that opportunity to relocate. You know, that's that opportunity too. And then maybe start looking there. So there's a lot of different ways to go about it. Those are several of them for sure.
Love that. Greg. Any advice, tips?
Leverage your network. You know, leverage the network of people that you've developed outside of the education realm. You know, outside of education athletics, you know, it's something of, you talk with some of your friends, colleagues that are maybe in different realms, but really look to do that. And I think that researching is key. You know, as you're beginning this, as Rich said, don't make it a rash decision. Plan it out because it's a big change. You know, you're going from the known to the unknown, and start researching some companies that you might be interested in working for and developing some connections there. But I really do think that your network can really be helpful. I mean, Rich, to your point, being able to leverage somebody like Scott, there are those people out there that can help guide you. And it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody that changed from being an AD into, you know, the business world. It could be somebody that you know that completely did a career change in itself. They were in one industry and they went to another. Pick their brain. What did they do? What was successful? What was a waste of time? And then it helps you kind of create your path and how you're going to attack it. Scott, how about you?
Yeah, I mean, you guys hit almost everything. Leverage relationships, talk to people, get their input. Rich is like talking about the financial aspect, understand what you need to leave financially for you and your family. And I think I've said this before on here, LinkedIn is a really cool place to get started in like the real world, let's say, in the job world. And AD should be on there today, whether they're thinking about retiring or not. I'm like, it's one of those things I recommend to any athletic director, get on LinkedIn. See what's out there. Get yourself known. Start posting like helpful content. Let people say this guy's a thought leader. This lady's a thought leader. And when you're on there, you'll wind up seeing and understanding a little bit more about the business world. And then you may wind up forging relationships that can help you out later on if you decide to make that move.
Well, folks, I think that's a good one to end. Rich.
Gee, you're not coming in. You're not coming in. So I'll bring it home. I'll bring it home, which I never do. Hold on, I got to look at the. I never bring it home. All right. Well, I think, guys, that's a great place to stop. I've really enjoyed this episode, Richie. Like, thanks for joining. You gave us a lot of great information. Athletic directors, you're on LinkedIn, right, Rich? If anybody wanted to find you and get in touch with you.
Yeah, I have a LinkedIn account. I have a MySpace account. So you can find me in either of those. So, yeah.
That's perfect. we'll get that on the screen at some point, the MySpace one for sure.
Great.
Well, listen, if you like what you heard today, stay tuned for future episodes. We have a bunch of great stuff coming up. Make sure you follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This way you won't miss any episodes. So from AD360, I'm Scott Rosenberg.
Greg Vandermeid.
Rich Porfido.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good day.